Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
As we come to the Word today, I hope that as we look at the Scriptures, that we will be encouraged in the things of God in a very, very special way. Because I think the things that we're going to be exploring in the next several weeks will be a source of great encouragement to each and every one of us. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, and you become part of the family of God, and you are now the possessor of eternal life, you enroll in school. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it is a school that you don't have to apply to. You are automatically enrolled no matter what your academic standing, no matter what your creed or color or whatever background. You are enrolled in school, and that is the school of faith. It is a school from which you will never graduate until you are in glory, until you see Jesus face to face. The interesting thing about this school is that it is a school that encompasses virtually all of your life. Where you work, where you play, where you recreate, where you relax, whatever you're doing, you are in school. The faculty of this school are the people of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. And there are many, many adjunct professors in this particular school found sprinkled throughout the balance of the Word of God. But the interesting thing about this school of faith is that the dean of the faculty is a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham, of course, is the father of faith. He is the man that we can learn from because he is the hero of faith. He is the father of the faithful. And the interesting things that I want to do when we come to the life of Abraham, particularly as we look at the life of Abraham, when it comes to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, there are more verses given to Abraham than any other individual. 12 verses, in fact. Nobody else has that many verses ascribed to him. I don't know whether the author just ran out of space. But Abraham is set up as a trophy, an example that we can follow. And for the next five Sundays, I want to look at the life of Abraham, and I want to look at five aspects of living by faith. The first aspect that I want to look at today is how to walk by faith. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at how to war by faith. Following that, we will be looking at how to wait by faith, how to work by faith, and finally, how to worship by faith. That pretty much encompasses all of the aspects in living by faith that we can possibly involve ourselves in. And those are the lessons that every single believer are going to learn as they are in the school of faith from which they will never graduate. And of course, there is an elementary school, there is a college level, and then there is a grad school. And then sometimes there is a postdoctoral grad school. And we'll get to that in future weeks. But the thing I would like to point out, particularly when it comes to walking by faith, is that there are five ministries that are going to be performed when we walk by faith. And we can see this from the life of Abraham. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, I would invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. And for the next several Sundays, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 22 and look at these five different aspects of the life of Abraham. How to walk by faith, war by faith, wait by faith, work by faith, worship by faith. And each of these things are things that we can apply to our individual life even today. The first ministry that is performed when we are walking by faith is that as we simply trust God, faith brings us out. Faith brings us out. Abraham originally resided in Ur of the Chaldees. It is ancient Mesopotamia. It is modern-day Iraq, Iran area. But I cannot help but think that Abraham had an extremely comfortable existence. I suspect he had a nice house, mansion, whatever you want. But Abraham was a man who suddenly was encountered by God, and he heard the voice of God. And if you look at verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham." The Lord said to Abraham. I don't know how Abraham heard the voice of God, but he did. And Abraham is now selected. Do I dare use the word election? This is God electing Abraham to do a special task to bring worldwide salvation to all mankind. And he is the agent, he is the instrument that God's going to be using for the next thousands of years. And it starts with this man right here. And the interesting thing about Abraham is that he, first of all, breaks from the past. If you look at the first verse, it says, "Go forth," and where is he supposed to go forth? From his country, from his relatives, from his father's house. When we break from the past, faith leads us out. Every one of you in this room have probably experienced at some time in your life a departure from the old way of living to the new way of living. And it all started as a result of faith, because faith leads you out. Abraham is a man who is sensitive to the voice of God. He is sensitive to the voice of God. He is also sensitive as far as looking to God. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 tells us that the glory of God appeared to Abraham. You can tell a man of faith by what he hears. You can tell a man of faith by what he sees. And Abraham is that kind of an individual, because faith leads him out. Out of the old existence into the new existence. And the right question you might have to ask yourself at this particular point is, what is it that Abraham is now trusting in? Well, would you notice closely that Abraham has now a new life mission, a change of purpose? Would you notice closely in verse 2? He says, "I want you to be something that no one else has been up to this point." He says, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make sure you are a blessing." You see, when faith leads us out, we have a new purpose in life. We have a new goal in life. We have, as it were, a new perspective of life. And what God is doing, as far as Abraham is concerned at this point in time, is that he's giving him a new purpose for living. Obviously, that involves a brand new perspective of life. Last week, at the beginning of the service, Marty's wife came up here and gave testimony of the fact that when she trusted Christ as her Savior, the next morning, everything seemed different. The grass was greener, and I don't remember if she said the sky was bluer and everything. And I was sitting there, and I was saying to myself, you know, she needs a verse. And she's not here today, but those of you who see her next time, say, here's your verse. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, now I'm going to give you a new perspective of this verse. Unfortunately, this verse has been misunderstood for a long time. The verse is not saying, if anyone is in Christ, all of your old habits suddenly disappear. It does not say, if anyone is in Christ, you stop sinning. That's certainly not true. Hasn't been true in my life. Hopefully it hasn't been true in any of your life. And if you don't believe that, just ask someone that's close to you. You know what that verse is saying? If anyone is in Christ, check closely the King James translation or the New American translation, and you'll notice that the next two words are in italics. They're not in the Greek. It doesn't say, he is a new creation. You know what it says? If anyone is in Christ, a new creation. Literally, it probably should be understood, it is a new creation. Because if you are now a Christian person, you see everything different. You have a completely different perspective. It is true, the grass is greener and the sky is bluer and everything around you, you have a new appreciation for the creation of God. And read the context closely, because what that passage is saying is that you now see the human race in a completely different perspective. You know the question you start asking yourself of the entire human race? I wonder if that person's a child of God. I wonder if that person's a child of God. I wonder if that person's a child of God. That's the way you see everybody from that point onward. That's what that passage is saying. Are they reconciled to God? Because that's the ministry we have at that point. Our mission is to proclaim the message of reconciliation. Abraham has a new purpose for living. But what else does Abraham have? Faith brings us out. And as a result of that, we now rely on promises. We rely on promises. One of the interesting things that I've discovered about myself, and I suspect you have discovered about yourself as well, is that we always want explanations. You know that God never gives explanations. He never explains. All right, please sit down. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. Have anybody had that experience? I sure haven't. I've been a born-again believer for probably 65 years. I never had that happen to me. You know what I have to live by now? And you know what you have to live by now? You live on promises. Promises. God doesn't have to explain a thing to you. Oh, I know we'd like for God to explain things to us. God, why are you doing it like this? God, why are you doing it like that? You know what Abraham is relying upon? He's relying upon the promises of God. You know that when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one promise that you have is if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. That's the promise. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Trust Christ and you have eternal life. Abraham believed promises. That's what he was going on for the rest of his life. So he had a change of purpose. Why? Because he left his old life. And he's relying on the promise of God. You can tell a man of faith by what he hears. You can tell a man of faith by what they see. But would you notice as well, faith leads us out so that it can lead us in. Would you look at verse 5? Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions, which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for a land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. God leads us out so he can lead us in. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. He's living on a promise. God is going to lead him out, and he's going to lead him in to the land of Canaan. And isn't it interesting that there are two very fascinating things about Abram that we learn as soon as God leads him in? And that is, would you notice closely, it says that he is a sojourner. Look what it says. He says, he pitched his tent in verse 8. He pitched his tent. It doesn't say he is a wanderer. He doesn't say he's a transient. He's now a pilgrim. He is a sojourner. And you know, that's exactly what we are. Faith leads us out to lead us in. And what we are at that point is a sojourner. We don't necessarily put our roots down deep. I'm not against owning a house. I'm not against owning property. But all of you know from the song, this world is not my home. What? I'm just a passing through. And you might acquire things here and there, but you don't hold on to those things tightly. You hold on to those things loosely. You are just using them for the time being. God is, if you please, loaning them to you so that you can use in this life. And what is Abraham? He is a sojourner. He builds a tent. A tent can be taken down. It can be put up. It can be relocated. That's what happens when faith brings you in. And Abram is in the land of Canaan. But notice what else it says. That he also builds an altar. Verse 7, it says he builds an altar. When you drop down to verse 8, it says he builds an altar. You see, if you are a pilgrim, if you are a sojourner, and you have no altar, you have no consistency. But if you have an altar and you are a pilgrim, you have stability. And that's exactly what Abram has. Now notice that, well, it says in this passage that when Abram builds an altar, he calls upon the name of the Lord. He calls upon the name of the Lord. Now, this is more than just a public prayer. Because you see, Abram in the past lived in a pagan society. He lived in a land of idolatry. His parents were idolaters. But God takes him out of a bad land and brings him into the absolute worst land in all of the world. God brought him to the place where the Canaanites lived. And the Canaanites, all the different tribes of the Canaanites, had a pantheon of gods. And whatever their need was, they had a god for this and a god for that and a god for this. What is it that Abraham now has? Abraham is worshiping the one true God. And when he's calling upon the name of the Lord, it's not just praying to God, it's making public proclamation of the fact that Yahweh God is the one and only God. Faith brings him out so that it can bring him in. Faith brought you out of whatever your old lifestyle was, so that it could bring you in to that new lifestyle. But would you notice something else that is very, very important? And it's almost a postscript in this passage of Scripture. Would you notice closely that when you come to verse 6, it says right at the very end of the verse, "And the Canaanite was there." That probably means nothing to us. Let me tell you what it really means. It means that Abram is living in among the most hostile, pagan, debauched environment that a person could live in at that point. In addition to having the pantheon of gods, all of these Canaanites worshipped all kinds of weird deities. There was child sacrifice. There was all kinds of things going on. And there was immediate opposition. Isn't it interesting that we are under the delusion to some degree today that when we trust Christ as our Savior, everything from that point on is just going to be wonderful. There's going to be no resistance. It's just going to be a smooth pathway. I don't know what Bible those people are reading, but I don't get that at all from the Scripture. Folks, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going into a spiritual battle the likes of which you will never resign from. You are going into a situation in which Satan is now on your heels. And at every turn, Satan wants to trip you up. The Canaanite is in the land. And one of the things that we're going to discover is that Abram constantly has opposition from the Canaanite, whatever he seeks to do. But you know, there's something else going on here. God takes him out to bring him in. And would you notice the first part of verse 10? He brings him to a land. And what's the first thing he discovers? There's a famine in the land. Isn't that interesting? God brings you in, and there's suddenly a famine. Folks, if you are a born-again Christian, I promise you, shortly after you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you started experiencing a famine. Now, what's a famine designed to do? It's not designed to starve you. It's designed to make you depend on God all that much more. But we don't see it like that, do we? We see a famine as, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, what's God doing? God's against me. No. God's not against you. God wants to make you stronger. God wants to make you more dependent on Him from that point on. Do you think that comes as a result of the let the good times roll? It sure doesn't. Hasn't happened that way in my life. I suspect it probably hasn't happened that way in your life. So the first ministry in the walk of faith is that faith leads us out. The second ministry of the life of faith is that faith brings you in. Isn't it interesting that when you look at the life of Abraham, what's the first major spiritual mistake Abram makes? Verse 10, Abram went down to Egypt. Throughout the Scriptures, Egypt is a portrait of the world. Egypt is flat and barren. I've been there. It's hot and dry. The land of Israel is rolling hills. Hills and hills, rocks and rocks and hills and valleys, ups and downs. You know what? That's what the Christian life is like. Abram goes down to Egypt. And what is he doing in Egypt? He conspires with his wife, his, not a fresh little filly. She's an older woman. But apparently she's got form and figure and beauty, and she turns heads. And Abram recognizes this. And he conspires with his wife. Look, I want you to tell them you're my sister, and then they won't kill me. Now, that was kind of a half-truth. And do you know that because of that particular lie, they almost shipwrecked their faith in Egypt? And isn't it interesting that what you have is that a pagan king comes along and chastises Abram? And this pagan king says, why in the world did you lie to me? The pagan king has all kinds of difficulty. Why? Because God's protecting him. God's protecting Abram from himself, even when he is living in carnality outside of the will of God. Should he have stayed in Canaan and trusted God? Probably. But that's not the way the scriptures unfold things. Faith brings him out so that it can bring him in. But you notice what else? Faith brings him back. Faith brings him back. Did you notice that when you come to verse number 1 of chapter 13, Abram went up from Egypt. Faith brings him back. Do you realize that faith is flawed? Abraham's an excellent illustration of the fact that faith is flawed. Trust me, if you are a newborn again believer, it won't be long until you fail miserably. Does that mean you were never a child of God to start with? Absolutely not. Isn't it interesting that Abram, 10 chapters are given to Abram in the book of Genesis. We don't get past verse 10 and we discover that Abram has failed. Keep in mind, folks, failure is part of the Christian life. Now, we don't want it to be, but it's there. And just because you have failed in the Christian life does not mean that God is saying, I'm done with you. Because you see, God wants us to learn from failures. Learn from failures. You can tell a person of faith by what he listens to. You can tell a person of faith by what he sees. You can tell a person of faith by what his feet do. He's walking and obeying the commands of God. You can tell a person of faith by what his hands do. His hands were building altars to worship God. Faith brought him back. And that's what happens with every single one of us. We will all fail in our walk of faith. But that does not mean we are shipwrecked. That does not mean that we are done for. That does not mean that we are finished. It means that Satan won one round. But God wants to bring us back. God wants to bring us back. But you know, the interesting thing as well is while there are challenges to faith, and these challenges to faith come to us in a variety of ways, we discover that they are also opportunities for growth. Opportunities for growth. When faith brought Abram back, it was suddenly discovered that he has an abundance of possessions. And if you read down through the first part of Genesis chapter 13, you discover that while he was down in Egypt, God still blessed him. Even though he was out of the will of God, he comes back with great possessions. The great possessions, however, are not a blessing. They start causing problems. Because we notice from the passage that there is strife, there's contention between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abram, being the superior, comes to Lot and he says, look, we need to iron this out. And the reason we need to iron this out is at the end of verse 8 of chapter 13, because we are brothers. We're brothers. We've got to work this out. Our testimony in front of the Canaanite is being diminished as a result of the tension and fragmentation that is starting to take place. And Abram, the socially superior, leaves the choice to Lot. No. He leaves the choice to the Lord. That's important to remember. Abram said, you take that direction, I'll take this direction. If you take this direction, I'll take that direction. Apparently what had happened is that while they were in Egypt, Lot acquired a taste for the world. And the text of Scripture tells us that Lot set up his tent towards Sodom. He was looking at worldly pleasures, worldly gain. He wanted to fit into the society of the world. That was the city that Lot was attracted to. What kind of a city was Abraham attracted to? He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Quite an extreme, wasn't it? And what is it that we discover about Abram? Faith leads him out, to lead him in, to lead him back, to lead him through. To lead him through. I find it extremely interesting that in the life of Abraham, when all of these events are taking place in his life, he's seeing God work. Sometimes he is working in spite of the things that Abram does. And you know, that's the way faith works. Faith does not work in spite of evidence. Faith works in spite of consequences. And I'd like to take that one step further. Faith works in spite of consequences on the outside and feelings on the inside. Trust me, your feelings are going to play havoc with you at times in the life of faith. And you are going to say to yourself, what in the world is God doing? I cannot help but think that Abram felt that way. Because you see, the big difficulty in Abram's life, which we're going to discover in future Sundays, is that God says, Abram, you're going to be a great nation. Here's this beautiful woman. She hasn't given me a child yet. It's been years and years and years and years. How in the world can God accomplish something through a barren wife? What is God doing all of this time? God is trying to stretch Abram's faith. And the only thing that Abram can do is learn to trust God more. And trust me, what God will do is stretch your faith to its breaking point at some times. He's not trying to break you, but he's trying to stretch that faith. I had knee replacement surgery about 9 weeks ago. I am now in physical therapy. You know what the physical therapists want to do? They want to stretch all those ligaments and stretch all those muscles. And you know what? That's exactly what God wants to do with us. Stretch us. And you know what stretching does? It makes us stronger. Faith leads us out so that it can lead us in. And there will be times that faith leads us back so that can faith lead us through. But what else is it that faith does to us? Faith leads us on. Would you look closely with me at the last part of chapter 13? Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all of the land that I'm going to give you. Everything you see, Abram, is yours." Faith leads us on. And you know, after there has been a crisis in our life, one of the main things that we can always count on as far as God is concerned is after is a time when things seem to have dropped out of the bottom of our life. Have you noticed there's always blessing on the other side? We may not be able to figure it out. We may say to ourselves, it doesn't make sense to me. Here it seems like I've just lost everything. But faith leads us on. And God makes a promise to Abram after he chooses not to make a decision and lets the Lord make the decision for him. And Lot now takes the best. God says, Abraham, I want you to focus over here. Because you see, there are horizons. There are horizons that you're never, ever going to fully experience. It's all yours, Abram. It's all yours. You can tell a man of faith. How? You can tell a man of faith from his eyes. He saw the glory of God. You can tell a man of faith by his ears. He responded to the command of God. You can tell a man of faith by his feet. He experienced the promise of God. You can tell a man by his hands. What he builds an altar to worship God. And last of all, you can tell a man of faith by his voice, because he praises the greatness of God. How to live by faith? It starts out with a walk of faith. And these are the five ministries that the walk of faith will perform in our life: bringing us out, bringing us in, bringing us back, bringing us through, and leading us on. How is it with you? How is that walk of faith in your life? You had some ups and downs? Perfectly normal. Had some setbacks? Plan on it. You know what God's doing? He's showing you that walking by faith is not dependent solely on you. You let God lead. He is the faithful guide. He'll lead you where you need to go. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this passage of Scripture. Father, it is our desire to be people of faith. Help us to realize that faith is trusting God for the undeserved, the unexplained, the unexpected, the unusual, the unanticipated. Help us to realize, our Heavenly Father, that faith is not skillful living. It is not learning from experience. It's not common sense. Faith is believing that what you say you will do, you will do. Father, we desire today to be people of faith. We desire to be people who trust you, who are obedient to you, who rely upon you. Our Father, dismiss us with your blessing. May this coming week be a time when we see you working in our life and we are looking for that walk that pleases you. May this week be a time that is used in our life in a very special way. We commit this week to you and ask that we will be people who desire to grow closer to the Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.